Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Binanek, and I am a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. Next week at our Sunday forum, we welcome Vicki Ross, who will speak about her recent trip to Afghanistan. Programs begin at 9:30 in the fellowship room, and all are welcome. The annual meeting of the Network of Religious Communities will be held at Holy Trinity at 6 p.m. this Tuesday. It will be a panel discussion. The meal will be catered at a cost of $25. Reservations are required. Please see the bulletin for additional information. Holy Trinity welcomes the Eastman Chorale, conducted by William Weinert, on Friday, February 22nd at 7:30 p.m. The historic choir from Rochester's Eastman School of Music will present works by William Byrd, Sir William Walton, and Samuel Barber on the first half, and Frank Martin's Mass for double choir following intermission. The Eastman Organ Department will also feature student Benjamin Henderson at the mighty Margaret L. Wendt Memorial Organ. Don't miss this opportunity to hear the finest collegiate choir in upstate New York. This concert is part of our ongoing relationship with Eastman School of Music. Join us on March 3rd, Transfiguration Sunday, when the Chancel Choir will present Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata 23. The cantata will be performed during the 10:30 service, just as it would have been presented at Bach's time. The choir will be accompanied by a chamber ensemble of strings, oboes, and features solos from Aurora Deeds, Maria Parker, Timothy Flynn, and Thane Schultz. Please join us for this special musical event. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you, and God bless.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. The words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joys of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. And all the blessing
Let us pray together. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the young people of the congregation forward for a time with Pastor Lee.
Show and tell time. Show and tell. I think I want to try those sunglasses on. Those are pretty sharp. A few more coming down. So once you get a good look at my little plant here, it once was a much bigger tree, but then it lost all of its leaves. But then, just when you thought that it wasn't going to make it, it started growing and growing and growing again. And so my question for you is, where are the roots? Where are the roots usually in a plant? Where would you normally see them? Under the ground, under the ground. So thank you for doing that. So where do you see the roots on this one? They're over the ground, right? You can see the roots sticking right out of there. And since I had it, it's been kind of a tree that's been kind of funny because you could see the roots. And you can see there's not much in the pot that I have it in. All the rest of the roots are all gathered in together. What do the roots do? What is the function of the roots?
To get the water from the plant.
Very good. And then what happens to it? You want to continue that? Yeah, it makes the plant. That's right. So not only does the root gather up the water, but it also is it's what's holding on to the ground so that it can stand. Anything else you know about roots? Those are pretty good. You want to add to that? It's the reason why they're even alive, right? The plant could not be the plant without the roots. Anything you want to add to that? No? Go ahead. Wow, they're like the heart of the plant. Now we're getting deep. Well, so the one of the scripture passages this morning says that the people of God are like a tree that's planted by water. And it will soak up that water and become like a strong plant. And so here was the plant that I thought at one point was never going to make it. It had lost all of its leaves. But because it had these great roots that were even coming out of the ground, and because both when I received it in Philadelphia, a man named Mr. Bob Schmid would come in and water it. And now Linda Lipchinsky in the office, she will water this for me on a regular basis. And because of that water, and because of their care, and because of the strong roots, the plant is still alive. Where do we see water in church? Where do you see water in church? Sometimes in the drinking fountains, right? And we drink it and it gives us life. Where else? At the baptismal font, right? And every time someone is baptized, that water poured over us, or when we get to watch someone be baptized, we hear promises from God that you are loved, that you are forgiven, so when we make mistakes, that we are forgiven from those, and we can try again in a new way, and that we belong to God. What else do you want to say? Where else? The fountain near the chapel. And so whether it's the fountain near the chapel, or a drinking fountain, and we can get some water, or the baptismal font, when we see that water, we can remember God's promises for us, that God loves us, forgives us, and that we belong to God. And that'll be like the roots for our life. That's the stuff that's going to hold us up. That's the stuff that's going to remind us that we are loved, and it's going to give us the ability to live, to be the creations that God has created us to be. Amen? Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks for the gift of water, that you give us life and life for all living things. We give you thanks for roots, and those that strengthen us and to keep us strong and to keep us growing. And we give you thanks for the gift of baptism, that in baptism you promise to love us today and always. So for all these gifts of love and life, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up. Have a great day.
The first reading for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany is recorded in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading for today is recorded in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only had hoped in Christ, we are all people must be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks, Lord God, for stirring our hearts and gathering us from our homes into your house again, for waking us up this morning and giving us this day as a precious and present gift of life and grace, not one that we take for granted. And so fill us again, that in this word and holy supper, we might be so fed and nourished that we have grace and abundance, love overflowing from our hearts, from this place, and into a world in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you live in the valley, you may very well be aware that the whole world is looking down on you. According to a report by Bread for the World, our neighbors in Haiti live in what is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere and perhaps the most fragile. More than half of the population of 10.4 million people live under the national poverty line of $2.42 a day. 25% of the population live on $1.23 a day. And not only is the country poor, but its people are among the most malnourished in the world, listing 10th from the bottom on the Global Food Security Index. This week in Haiti, we have seen that it has been racked by their own political crises as protests have risen up against President Jovenel Moïse. A recent court report alleges that billions of dollars in development money loaned by Venezuela to Haiti were diverted or misspent. Allegations include that Moïse diverted monies to a company that he owned prior to his election in 2017. And understandably, those who live on about a dollar a day have become more than upset. When you live in the valley, you may very well be aware that the whole world is looking down on you. Poverty in the U.S. leaves our neighbors in the valley as well. You know that you are looking up at the world when your view is that of your child's school being described as failing, and answers are seemingly slim and slow to respond. You know you're living in the valley when your community is considered dilapidated and crumbling, and you're left wondering when the Renaissance will reach your block. You know that you are living in the valley when your neck aches from having to look up the hill all day, every day, and that overcoming poverty is not, as Nelson Mandela said, a task of charity, but rather an act of justice. At the other end of the spectrum is the view from the mountaintop, from those scenic vistas of the world. I'll never forget the view from the Arente viewpoint in the Sambara Mountains in northeastern Tanzania. Traveling by jeep, one winds through a small one-lane cliff-hanging road up and around the mountain. You leave the village of Lushoto far below, and as you twist your way up along the mountainside, you can see the red clay of the terraced lands that are carved out on the mountains across the valley. Once at the Arente view, one is treated to a vision of all the lands below, and the story is that you can see the whole world from that place. The farms and fields appear as stitched together like quilt work. The homes and villages no more than specks. It even seems that all your troubles can be left far down below. It is in this place where you can enjoy from the cafe a cup of tea and a biscuit. Life is good on the mountaintop. Clear view, clear sky, a clear vision of the world below. Only if we are honest, we know that mountaintop views are not sustainable either. Caroline Lewis writes that even the view from a mountaintop can be a rather uncomfortable perspective. We can't help but to realize that the view looks down. Our implicit biases have prescribed that those in the valley are somehow considered less than. We confess that we look down on those that we don't see to be on our same level, those whom we believe, for whatever reason, are not as worthy or valued or dignified as we may be. The mountaintop view is not sustainable for all people. And so we find ourselves this morning between these two perspectives, between the valleys and the mountaintops, between the low places and the exalted ones. Luke brings Jesus' longest discourse in his gospel to a level place, to the plains. Our gospel this morning begins, Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. Matthew sets a similar sermon on a mount, most likely to tie into the storied history of the Word of God coming down off the mountain to Moses and down disseminated among the people. But the topography in Luke's setting serves us another function. Luke uses the word pedinos when directly translates as a level place or a plain. It's the same word pedinos in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Torah, that the prophets used to describe places of disgrace and idolatry, suffering and misery, hunger, annihilation, and places of mourning. You can find the places of pedinos in Jeremiah and Daniel and Joel and Habakkuk and Zechariah, where those prophets foresaw God renewing these level places, where they saw God renewing the plains. And so this morning, Jesus comes to a level place. Here this morning, the realm of God comes down off the mountaintop, and the manifestation of is made known in more than platitudes from the plains. In the low places, Jesus speaks a word of blessing. Blessing here now in the realm of God obviously does not mean an end to struggle or to strife. But to be blessed is to know that struggle and mourning and tears are temporary, and that grace accompanies us in all of our broken places. And it's quite clear that the poor and the hungry, the depressed and the oppressed have a place at the table and have value in the realm and kingdom of God. And in Luke's gospel, we must deal with the woes, that the level plain challenges our mountaintop perspective. To live under the verdict of woe means condemnation, Ronald Allen writes. The woeful of Luke's warning may not experience discomfort in this life, but they mistake wealth, overflowing tables, good times, and timely relationships. They are mistaken for God's purposes. And although the Lucan Jesus does not command a decision of us, the ways of blessings and woes lay out a simple choice. Luke encourages the listener to choose the way of blessing. The level plain changes the church. We don't get to stand on the mountaintops, and no one is predestined to wallow in the valley. But instead, we are invited into the realm of God in the level plains. Life on the level presents its own challenges. The vision is not always clear. Life gets sticky. Others are in the way, other voices and other visions. They are also valid. Like being in a concert or in a crowd, sometimes we have to stand up on our tiptoes to see more clearly. And this is where God has called the church to be, in the plain. Our sanctuary is to be a level place, that those who are here feeling low this morning, those who are mourning, those who have felt less than this week, this is a place where you can give thanks, be raised up again in the name of Christ, and live your life as an offering. And for those who have been to the mountaintop, for those who have taken in the high vistas and the scenic views, this is a place to give thanks, to be humbled, and to live your life as an offering. For both those are brought down and those who are lifted up are called together beloved, and all have a place at the Lord's table and are a piece of the whole body. Here at Holy Trinity on Main Street, we have a good view of the kingdom from the plains outside our doors as well. You can look one direction and see those who are living in poverty and those who are not so poor on the same direction down the street. This is where Jesus wants us to be, not on a hill looking down on others or looking up in shame as if we are not worthy, but inviting us to live on the plains to see the world from this new realm perspective. And it's okay if the view is not always clear. It's okay if in this view that there are other voices and visions that are coming together, because together we can see the kingdom of God here in the plain. Amen.
Thank you.
the congregation to be seated. And I will invite the members of our Haiti travel team to come forward. Pastor's already here. Sue, Kurt, Mary, Kathy, and Guy, who is not here today because he is away working. As they come forward, and as you heard in Pastor Miller's sermon this morning, and hopefully on the news, but we know how sometimes the news doesn't necessarily always report the things that happen in countries like Haiti, Haiti is currently in the midst of some political unrest with conflicts with their president. And so we embark on this journey this week of hopeful anticipation that things will quickly resolve. Not just so that we can go and do the mission that we feel called to do, but so that the people in Haiti can return to lives, hopefully more peaceful and with less fear. So as we begin our blessing today, I'm going to take a moment just to pray for our siblings in Christ in Haiti and for the people of Haiti before we send a blessing to our Haiti travel team. So please pray with me. O God, where hearts are fearful and constricted, grant courage and hope. Where anxiety is infectious and widening, grant peace and reassurance. Where impossibilities close every door and window, grant imagination and resistance. Where distrust twists our thinking, grant healing and illumination. Where spirits are daunted and weakened, grant soaring wings and strengthened dreams. Holy One, you do not distance yourself from the pain of your people. But in Jesus, you bear that pain with all who suffer at others' hands. With your cleansing love, bring healing and strength to all the people of Haiti. And by your justice, lift them up, that in body, mind, and spirit, they may again rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you guys to gather close together again. And I'm going to ask you people of Holy Trinity to kind of send good warm vibes towards our team this week. This blessing is intended to send them off with a blessing of good works and good deeds and filled with the Holy Spirit. But at this point in time, not only are we doing that, but we're also sending a presence of a non-anxious discernment as we navigate the waters of this political unrest and the safety of our family and our siblings here at Holy Trinity. So today we give thanks to God and seek God's blessing as we send this Haiti travel team to Illovash. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe. You made the whole earth for your glory, and all creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and of earth in thanksgiving for the many blessings that you have given us. Renew in us this commitment to use our gifts in the service of others, and especially of those in need. Let us be your hands to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the weary and outcast, welcome the stranger, care for creation, and be loving neighbors to all people. Bless who go out from here to labor in Illovash. Prosper the work of their hands. Bless those who receive them and the fruits of their labor. And may those who are sent receive blessing in return. May the gifts they use and share be signs of your love to all people. To you, O God, be glory and honor through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in your church and in the world, now and forever. Amen. And I will ask that you now rise, and we'll continue our service using the words and proclaiming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 10 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Raise up faithful leaders to proclaim the gospel. Guide us in the ways of love. Empower us in ministry and in service. Protect all communities of faith, including those of the Buffalo City Cluster, for Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Lord, in your mercy. For the earth, bless deserts and canyons, farmlands and vineyards. Bring sufficient rainfall to lands parched by drought and restore places scorched by wildfire. Protect fragile environments from harm. Lord, in your mercy. For the nations, grant wisdom to our elected leaders for the sake of the common good. Give courage to those who suffer persecution. Give patience and perseverance to those who work to bring an end to injustice. Today we pray for the civil unrest in Haiti and an end to the unjust policies. We also pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, for those who do not have enough food, for those who lack money, for those who are estranged from their families, for those who worry about many things, comfort those who mourn, heal and strengthen those who are sick. And we pray for all those we now name aloud and those we remember in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly, for newcomers, visitors, longtime members, and those who are absent from us today, root us deeply in your word and increase our faith. Lord, in your mercy. For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today, for Isabella and Dylan, Lord, in your mercy. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died. Encourage us by their example and lead us in faith until we are united at your unending feast. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you've made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray together. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare. The very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free. Use your gifts to build one another up. And in everything, reflect your glory, revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Gracious God, you took the form of a servant, offering yourself as food, comfort, and strength to a sick and hurting world. Anoint with a servant heart those who take your word and sacrament to our sisters and brothers in their homes, in prisons, and in hospitals. Grant grace, mercy, healing, and hope to those who feast on your body and blood, and receive your words of new life. May we all recognize that we have a place and a home in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Christ is your light. Thanks be to God.